Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hey, thanks for joining us this week on the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host. Well, you know, a number of radio shows did become TV shows, and we have two examples of them for you here this week, both comedies. We'll start off with an episode of Father Knows Best and Revolting Children from 1952. And in 30 minutes, it's Red Skelton Show and Circus Fun, that's from 1942. Here's Father Knows Best.
Mother, why did Daddy switch to Postum?
Your father says there's no caffeine in Postum, nothing to spoil your sleep. And your father knows best.
Transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as father. A half-hour visit with your neighbor, the Anderson. Brought to you by Instant Postum, the good-tasting drink that's entirely caffeine-free. And by Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest-selling Bran Flakes. Like most families, the Andersons of 607 Maple Street generally stick pretty closely together. But they have a day every now and then when the family structure threatens to come unglued. This, I'm afraid, is going to be one of those days. It's Saturday afternoon, and Jim Anderson is just coming in the back door. Like this. Margaret, I'm home.
Mother, I'll need this skirt pressed, too, and my organdy dress. Oh, yes, and my gray suit.
Betty,
and...
I'm working as fast as I can. Don't rush me.
What's going on here?
I'll have to take all my blouses, too, and my Hello Father sweaters, and let's see, what else?
Take your blouses where? What's happening?
Oh, Father, I have the most wonderful news.
Really? What is it?
Mother, all my hair curlers are bent or broken.
Say, that is startling news.
So I'll just buy some new ones when I get there.
When you get where? What's all this about? Is it a big secret?
Oh, no, Father. It's just utterly devastating, that's all. Utterly.
I see. Well, it's nice to get the details. What's this all about, Margaret?
Oh, she's going to take a job.
A job? Really?
Yes, Father. I'm moving to Cedar Falls. I'm going to stay with Janie Liggett's aunt. Mother, do you think I ought to take my record player?
That's up to you.
Now, wait a minute here. Did you say moving?
Yes, Father. I don't think I'll take the record player. Or maybe I should.
You mean you're leaving?
Of course.
Yes, but...
Don't look at me, dear. It isn't my idea.
I've got to start packing. What happened to my green blouse?
Well, it's probably in your closet.
Margaret, did you hear what she said?
Yes, I heard it.
Moving to Cedar Falls. Are you going to let her?
Well, I didn't say she couldn't. And you always tell me I should go along with these things. Let the children work out their own problems.
Yes, but she's not through college yet. She can't just quit in the middle of the term like this.
Well, I don't agree with it either, but this opportunity came up. As a matter of fact, it came through the placement bureau at the college. So they evidently approve of it. They said she could continue her studies by extension.
Well, what kind of a job is this?
Oh, some sort of secretarial work, I guess. It's with some company there in Cedar Falls.
With some company? Is that all you know about it?
Oh, I'm sure it's a reputable firm.
Well, how do you know? You don't even know the name of it. Sounds like some fly-by-night deal to me.
Daddy!
I don't think we ought to rush into this thing.
Daddy, I'm walking in high heels. Look, Daddy!
Oh, Kathy, take those ugly shoes off. Where did you get those?
They're some of Mommy.
Oh. Well, the shoes are all right, but it's... Just they don't look right on you.
Look, Daddy, I can stand straight up without bending my knees.
Well, take them off. I don't like to see little girls hobbling around in high heels. You children grow up too fast as it is without pushing it. Betty's leaving, the family's breaking up.
Now, don't get upset, dear. That's what you tell me. You say take it easy, things always work out.
Watch how fast I can walk in these, Daddy.
Kathy, I told you to take those off before you trip and hurt yourself.
I won't trip. I've been practicing. Look, Daddy.
Do you think Betty will come home for weekends?
Daddy, you're not looking.
Kathy, I told you to get those things off before you break a leg.
Heck, a fella can't do anything to around here.
Dear, I know you're upset over Betty, but I don't think you ought to take it out on Kathy.
I wasn't. I meant what I said. I don't want her to trip and hurt herself.
Oh, I don't think there's much danger of that. Besides, if she falls down a few times, she'll stop wearing them.
I know.
I don't get this sudden change. What happened to your let things work out naturally theory?
I don't recall that I ever espoused any such theory.
Mom!
Jim, dear, ever since the children were born, you've
always... Mom, can I... Oh, hello, Dad. You home?
No, I'm on a live bait boat out in Puget Sound.
Say, Dad, how would you like to have me bring home a big sack of owls?
A sack of owls? Now, just what would we do with a sack of owls?
Claude Mesner says they're valuable. You can sell the feathers.
You don't say.
For money.
My son, a feather merchant. Owl feathers yet.
Joe Phillips and Claude and me are going owl trapping tonight.
Oh, you are, huh?
Well, that is, if it's all right with you.
Daddy!
But I'm wondering if it's a good idea for you boys to...
Daddy!
All right, shrimp boat, get lost. Me and Dad are talking business.
Ah, turn blue.
Hit the road, squeegee.
I don't have to, do I, Daddy?
Well...
Can I ask you a question, Daddy?
All right, what is it, kitten?
Holy cow.
Can I wear just one of these shoes?
Kitten, look, I don't want you to think I'm being mean to you, but when I ask you to do something, remember that it's for your own good, so please do it.
Oh, darn.
Well, anyway, Dad, me and Joe and Claude...
Mother, do you know where my good hairbrush is?
Oh, gosh.
Where have you looked for it?
It's not there.
Well, which one do you mean, the black one?
Ask Kathy if she took it.
Why don't you take the white one?
Never mind, I'll find it.
Now, there's an intelligent conversation.
Well, anyway, Dad, Claude's dad said he'd drive us out as far as Red Rock Bridge, and then we'll hike the rest of the way in. Carry our sleeping bags and all that.
Sleeping bags?
Sure, we don't want to sleep on the bare ground.
Well, is this an overnight trip?
Oh, sure. Can I go?
Well, but in the first place, I don't like the idea of you boys out there chasing owls. Getting caught in those traps?
We don't use traps. We sneak up on them in the dark with a net.
Yeah, well, if anybody sees you out there chasing owls, they'll be after you with a net.
There's no danger of that. It'll be dark.
And in the second place, isn't it pretty cold to be camping out in sleeping bags? What if you get caught in a snowstorm?
Oh, heck, Dad, it's not going to snow.
No, but it could.
Oh, Dad.
You can feel it in the air.
Oh, I'll look up the weather report in the paper.
Oh, well, you can't go by that.
Well, look, Dad, if it says no snow, can I go?
Here's my suit, Mother. It won't need much pressing.
All right.
How about it, Dad?
Did you find the black hairbrush, Betty?
I was hunting for the white one.
Oh. Well, did you find the white one?
No, but I found the black one.
How about it, Dad?
Well, but I think I explained my position quite clearly.
Holy cow, I knew it'd turn out like this.
Father!
Well, now wait, bud.
Might as well be living in a concentration camp.
Father!
Yes, what is it, Princess?
I hate to ask you this, and I'll pay it back as soon as I get my first paycheck. But I'll need some money for the bare necessities. Rent and meals and movies and phonograph records and...
Well, now, Betty, are you sure you know what you're doing?
Why, certainly, Father.
Well, what about this outfit you're going to work for? Doesn't sound very reliable to me.
Now, dear, we've gone all through that.
Well, I'm not convinced.
Father, do you know the company I'm going to work for?
No, I don't even know the name of it.
Then how do you know it's unreliable?
Well, from some of the things your mother was telling me about it, fly by night and all that.
Dear, you said that, not me. I didn't tell you anything about it because I don't know anything about it.
See there? Nobody knows anything about this company.
Well, I do. I know all about it. It's the William T. Ripple Company.
Ripple?
And they manufacture.
Manufacture what?
Well, how should I know? I'm only going to work in the office. I'm not going to be out in the factory punching a conveyor belt or whatever they do.
Well, that settles it. You're not going to do anything until I investigate this outfit and find out just what kind of shenanigans they're mixed up in.
Jim, if you don't want Betty to leave, just come right out and say so.
Oh, no, it's not that. I don't want to stand in her way.
Dad.
But I certainly feel it's my duty.
Dad, can I go if I wear my red flannels?
Don't bother me about that now.
Holy cow.
Well, Father, I've already said I'd take the job.
But you don't even know what it is.
And Ralph is going to drive me over to Cedar Falls.
Well, now, wait, let me finish what I was going to say.
Father, I should think you'd be overjoyed that your daughter is going to start making $95
a week. $95
a week?
Well, that must be a month. They wouldn't pay a beginner that much.
It's a week, I'm positive.
Dad.
Betty, listen, I'm only trying to help you.
Dad.
Father, I talked to the man myself.
Dad.
All right, what is it, Bud?
How about it if I wear two pair of red flannels?
Bud, I told you I didn't want you to go, and that's that. If you were older, it would be different.
I'm older than I was last year.
Betty, here's your suit.
Thanks. Looks like I won't need it now, the way Father's talking.
Well, Betty, now please listen. As I said, I don't want to stand in your way. But on the other hand, I certainly feel it's my duty to investigate this company before I let my daughter walk into some shaky enterprise she'll regret later on.
Shaky?
Dear, quoting your theory of the past, I think it would be good experience for her.
Margaret, I wish you wouldn't keep bringing up my theories. Before she leaves this house, I'm going to make a few phone calls.
Father, there's no one you can call now. It's Saturday afternoon. Every place is closed till Monday.
I can't help that. I'm going to find out more about this. What is it, the Dribble Company?
Ripple, William T. Mother, what am I going to do?
Well, I'll go have a talk with your father. But I'll be truthful with you. It doesn't look too promising.
Mother, what does he think I am, a child?
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Bud.
Yeah?
I want to talk to you.
What have I done now?
Nothing. It's what you're not getting to do that I want to talk about.
What's going on?
Get lost, shrimp.
I think it's high time we took drastic measures. Can I take them too? All right. Sit down, Squeegee, but be quiet. We are going to have a meeting.
A meeting?
The way things have been going around here, the way we're all being treated like infants, has got to stop. We've got to assert ourselves.
Huh?
We, the United Andersons, are going to revolt.
So the Anderson children are going to revolt because they aren't being treated like grown-ups. Well, maybe you have the same kind of problem at your home. If you have, here's a suggestion from our child care expert, Ed Prentice.
Well, I guess just about every youngster likes to act and feel as grown up as possible. Why? I don't know. Personally, I'd rather be a kid myself. But anyway, that's how they want to be, and, well, here's one way, a perfectly safe and easy way to let them. Sure, let them enjoy Postum, the grown-up drink that's completely safe for the whole family. Let them have their hot Postum right along with you, even little toddlers. You see, instant Postum satisfies their yearning for a good, hot, grown-up drink, yet contains absolutely nothing to harm them. No caffeine, no drugs of any kind. And say, you know, that's something for us grown folks to remember, particularly those of us who suffer sleepless nights or jangled nerves due to the caffeine in coffee and tea. Of course, not everybody's affected that way by caffeine. Many aren't. But if you are, why not make caffeine-free Postum your steady drink? Instant Postum for you and the kids, too. You'll all enjoy it. Tastes mighty good and heartening. That's Instant Postum. Get a jar tomorrow, okay?
The great revolt is on at 607 Maple Street as the amalgamated Anderson kids assert themselves and establish right in such momentous issues as 1. Stumbling around in high-heeled shoes, 2. Taking a job in Cedar Falls, and 3. Going owl trapping. While this meeting is in progress, self-appointed mediator Margaret is having her little discussion with Jim, who is acting under what he considers basic parental duty. Like this.
Honey, I understand all that perfectly, but I still say that I'd be a poor parent indeed if I didn't check into this job of Betty's.
But you can't do anything about it now. You called over to Cedar Falls and found out the place is closed till Monday. Now, why don't you just relax and let things work themselves out?
I've got Ed Davenport down at the Chamber of Commerce checking on it for me. He'll find out something.
Oh, dear, you know how these things go. If you don't fight it, something always comes up and it's all forgotten.
Margaret, you can't just sit by and trust to luck. Betty's too young, too inexperienced to take off like this.
Jim, Cedar Falls is all of 35 miles away.
Why, she doesn't even know what the company manufactures. They're making a legitimate product. Why are they keeping it so quiet?
They're not keeping it quiet. Betty just forgot to find out what it is.
I'd better find out exactly who it was who got this job for Betty.
She told you it was the college place.
Where is she, still in the kitchen?
I think so. All the children are in there, with the door closed. I don't know what they're doing.
It was probably Ralph who promoted this whole thing. Sounds like his work.
Yeah, and then he says snow. Says it's gonna snow.
Budge.
Well, what's going on here?
Oh, hello, Dad.
Father, you can't come in here.
I can't?
No. We're having a meeting.
Oh, what kind of a meeting?
Oh, just a meeting.
Hi, Daddy.
We'll let you know about it later.
Guess what, Daddy? We're revolting.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
Yes, we are, Daddy. You'll find out.
Kathy, keep quiet. And, Father, you've got to leave till the meeting's over.
I see. Well, I guess I know when I'm not wanted. But hurry it up, because there's some things I want to ask you, Madam Chairman.
You'll get your chance to talk, Father.
Well, fine. I look forward to it.
Goodbye, Daddy.
I'm leaving. Don't worry.
Well, did you find out anything?
Plenty. There's a big deal going on in the kitchen. Sounds like mutiny.
Mutiny?
Yes, they're having a big meeting, and from what little I could pick up, I'm the principal target of their attack.
What are they saying?
Well, I didn't get very much of it, but I think if I open the door just a crack...
Oh, now, Jim, you're not going to eavesdrop.
Well, this concerns me. It might be very interesting.
Well, I'm not going to listen.
And then on top of that, now get this, Betty.
All right, you registered your complaint now. You don't need to go into any more of it. The point
is... Well, let me tell this. I even offered to wear two pair of red flannels.
Daddy says I can't walk in these shoes. Look how good I can do it, Betty.
Get that, honey?
Shh.
Kathy, you've demonstrated 100 times. Now sit down.
Not old enough, he says.
The point is that we're all agreed that we've got to do something about Father. Right?
Right.
They just decided they've got to do something about me.
I don't blame them.
Our main complaint is that Father has failed to keep up with us and with the time.
Yeah.
His trouble is that he's just too utterly Model T.
You can say that again.
Yeah.
He thinks we're still living back in the 1940s.
The 1940s?
I thought you weren't going to listen.
Well, I just happened to catch that.
So our next step is to draw up a resolution and present it to him, right?
Right.
A New Year's resolution? No, a resolution telling him what changes we want made and what we intend to do. And that from now on, we want to be treated as adults instead of babies. After all, we're old enough to know a thing or two.
You're doggone right.
Yeah.
I know a heck of a lot more about trapping owls than he does.
All right. You kids keep quiet now, and I'll draw up the resolution.
Okay.
Bud, do you want to see me walk in these shoes?
No.
They're drawing up a resolution now. I'll bet that's going to be a world-shaking document.
I should be in there helping them write it.
No, I think they'll do a good job. And outside of the things they said about me, their other statements make a lot of sense.
As near as I could tell, the only statements they made were about you.
Well, what I mean is... that's probably Ed Davenport calling back. I hate to interrupt the meeting, but I guess I'll have to barge into the kitchen to answer.
There's an extension, you know, in the den.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dad!
Huh?
Oh, what are you doing here behind the door?
Oh, nothing. I was just talking to your mother for a second.
Oh. Well, you're wanted on the phone.
Oh, well, thanks.
Come in, but make it snappy, Dad.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, make it snappy, Daddy.
Oh, I will. I won't take a chance with this gang. Hello? Oh, hello, Ed. What did you find out?
You were right, Betty. That's where he was.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. You're sure about that? Uh-huh. Well, much obliged, Ed. Maybe we can have lunch sometime next week. Fine. Goodbye. Is the meeting about over?
No.
We'll tell you when.
Yeah, we'll tell you when, Daddy.
I shall await it with eager anticipation.
Was it Ed?
Yes, it was Ed.
Well, what do you have to say?
Oh, we had some information on the Riffle Company. They manufacture leather goods.
Well, that doesn't sound very shaky.
Well, as far as he could tell, they're a good, reliable outfit.
Well, don't get worried, dear. Let's just play along and see what happens.
Margaret, I can't understand your complete lack of interest.
Dear, I'm only repeating what you yourself have said.
Okay, Dad, you can come in now.
Oh, well, good.
May I come in, too?
I don't know. Just a minute. Betty, is it okay if Mom comes, too?
Yes, I guess so.
Okay, Mom, come on in.
Thank you very kindly.
Father, you sit right there.
Here? Okay.
Where do I sit?
Anywhere, it doesn't matter.
Hi, Mommy.
Hello, Kathy.
I'll bet you're glad you're not Daddy.
All right, let's have order in here. Mr. James Anderson.
That's me.
We, as a committee of three, have drawn a resolution which we are utterly desirous of reading to you.
And I'm utterly desirous of hearing saying.
All right, here it is. We, Betty Anderson, Bud Anderson, and Kathy Anderson, do hereby resolve as follows.
Hi, Daddy.
Keep quiet, Jughead.
Whereas we have reached varying ages, as the case may be, we feel that it is utterly high time that we were treated accordingly.
Know what that means, Daddy?
I don't.
Okay, quiet.
Whereas we feel quite capable of figuring a few things out for ourselves and making a few of our own decisions, we hereby intend to take the following courses of action.
Yeah.
May I have a drink of water?
No.
What about me first?
Number one. I, Kathy Anderson, do hereby intend to wear whatever type footwear at various times and on various occasions as I so please.
I got them on right now. See, Daddy?
Uh-huh.
Number two, I, Bud Anderson, do hereby intend not to be prevented or restrained from going owl trapping by utterly spurious weather reports about snow and etc. And furthermore, I do not intend to wear two suits of red flannels either inside the sleeping bag or outside. Number three, I, Betty Anderson, being of sound mind and practically grown up, do hereby...
I know. Do hereby utterly insist that I'm going to Cedar Falls.
For the purpose of making $95 a week.
Never mind reading the rest of it, Princess.
Where are you going, Father?
I'm hauling down my flag and retreating to the den.
Then it's okay to go owl trapping?
Sure, go ahead.
Now, dear, just a minute.
I know when I'm outnumbered, Margaret.
Then it's all right to take the job, Father?
Sure, go to Cedar Falls, make $95 a week. It's your life. I'm not going to interfere.
Can I wear Mommy's shoes?
I don't care, kid. Wear stilts if you want to.
Dear, you don't have to give in to everything. What are you going to do?
Honey, I'm just going to sit here in the den and lick my wounds.
Now, don't take that attitude, Jim.
No, honey. You said to just relax and let things work out. I'm going to follow your theory this time.
My theory?
You've been telling me this all afternoon. Now I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to be responsible for what happens. Let the family fall apart.
Oh, dear. Well, hadn't you better answer the phone?
Why answer it? I'm going to relax and let things work out. Maybe it'll stop ringing.
Aren't you going to answer the phone, Dad?
No, it's probably for Betty anyway.
Hello? Yes? Who? Oh, well, just a minute. Betty, it's for you.
Who is it, Ralph?
No, it's some guy by the name of Masterson or something like that.
Oh, that's the man at the placement bureau. It's about my job.
Margaret, when do things start working out?
Dear, I didn't say that.
Hello?
They were going to...
Yes, this is she. What? Switchboard training? No, I haven't had any of that. Mine's been mostly shorthand and typing and all that. Gee, I don't even know what a letter stamping machine is. Well, Mr. Masterson, couldn't I just take the secretarial part of it and maybe take less pay than the 95 a week? What? A month?
Uh-oh. Do you hear that, Margaret?
Shh. Well, I guess you'd better tell them I won't take it. Thank you, Mr. Masterson. Goodbye.
Francis, I was just thinking, I'll bet Ed Davenport down at the Chamber of Commerce could use a good girl in his office this summer, after school's out.
Father, you were right. It was 95 a month.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to Ed next week. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have lunch with him.
Well, Dad, Joe and Claude are expecting me over at Joe's house, and I ought to... Holy cow, look out the window.
Father, do you really think Mr. Davenport...
Holy jumping cow!
What's the matter, Bud?
I never would have believed it.
Believe what?
Look, it's snowing. You call Joe and tell him the trip's off. Tell him to bring his skis and come on over.
I'll be upstairs unpacking, Mother.
Well, dear, what do you say now?
Well, honey, it's like I've always said. If you just relax, give these things time, they always work out.
For goodness sake, eat Post Bran Flakes. So good and so good for you.
Mother, it's important to know that a good-for-you cereal also has a delicious flavor that the whole family will love. And that's exactly what the Post cereal people have done for Bran. Yes, they have given their new Post 40% Bran Flakes a wonderful new magic oven flavor, a tempting, crisper texture that many people now prefer over any other cereal. And besides tasting good, Post Bran Flakes are good for you, because they give you those important keep regular benefits that Bran is famous for. So next time you go shopping, be sure to buy new Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest selling Bran Flakes. They're really good, and so good for you.
Revolt on Maple Street is now little more than a memory, and the activities in the white frame house have settled back into such earthy routine tasks as preparing dinner, which Margaret is doing at this very moment. Jim is just entering the kitchen to check on its progress. Like this.
Mmm, that smells good. When do we eat?
Oh, it won't be long now. Have you checked on Kathy lately?
Yeah, she's abandoned your shoes in the front hall. At this moment, she's outdoors playing fox and geese in the snow with Bud.
Oh, my. Jim, tell me truthfully, how did you know it was going to snow?
Oh, just naturally brilliant, I guess.
No, now tell me.
Well, after an intensive study of the pressure areas...
Father!
Oh, hello, Princess.
Father, I've just torn up that resolution and drawn up a new one.
Oh?
This one says, we're sorry for the way we acted and that we all realize that, well, that... You know best.
Well, Betty, I wish you were right, but you're not. I was just lucky.
Lucky?
Yes, but I think I've learned a good lesson today. I've learned I have some pretty self-reliant grown-up kids. And from now on, maybe your father will be a little less, shall we say, Model T?
Week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. Until then, good night and good luck from the makers of Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest selling Bran Flakes, and Instant Postum, the drink that's entirely caffeine-free. In our cast were Helen Strom as Kathy, Dorothy Lovett, Rhoda Williams, and Ted Donaldson.
It's the best hot cereal you ever ate. Post Wheat Meal, the best hot cereal anybody ever ate. Rich and delicious with a nut-like flavor you'll never want to miss. And hot Post Wheat Meal is so good for you. Packed full of solid whole wheat nourishment, especially good for children. Post Wheat Meal takes just 3 minutes to cook. Get the big family economy size with a picture of Roy Rogers on the package. Post Wheat Meal.
The best hot cereal you ever ate.
Bobby Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Paul West and Roswell Rogers. This is Bill Foreman speaking.
Tonight, play Truth or Consequences on NBC.
And now it's off to Radio City in New York as we visit with Fanny Bryce, Baby Snooks, and Daddy.
Snooks. Oh, Snooks.
Yes, Daddy.
Stick close by. I don't want you to get lost here at NBC.
See, Daddy, look on that door there. It says Tallulah Bankhead.
What about it?
What's a Tallulah Bankhead?
What's a Tallulah Bankhead?
Mm-hmm.
Just about the most famous stage actress today, that's all.
Oh, is that all?
Is that all? Who made such a great success in A Royal Scandal? Who starred in the hit play The Skin of Our Teeth? Who thrilled thousands on Broadway in The Little Foxes? Who, I ask you? Who? Well, what are you crying about?
I didn't do it.
I know you didn't. Tallulah Bankhead did. Why, when she's on a stage, nobody can even come close to her. And when she delivers a speech, audiences don't dare breathe.
You mean even her best friends won't tell her?
Oh, stop. I mean that she's so good she's without an equal. What an actress. When she plays a love scene with a leading man, how she carries off a part.
Well, which part of him does she carry on?
Don't be silly.
Gee, I'd like to be an actress when I grow up.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're not pretty enough.
You mean I'm ugly?
Well, at least it's a clean-cut ugliness. Look, stay here a minute. We're supposed to be contestants on Groucho Marx's quiz show. I better check up about it. Be back soon.
All right, Daddy. I don't care what Daddy says. I'm going to be an actress when I grow up. Like Tallulah Bankhead. Say, I know what I'll do. While Daddy's gone, I'll knock on her door, and I'll ask her how to get the bee one. Yay!
Come in.
Hello, Miss Bankhead. Can I ask you something?
Please take those sweaty little paws off my Hattie Carnegie gown. Or I'll slug you on you.
Gee, you wouldn't hit a little girl, would you?
No, but if you're as obnoxious as you look, I may boot you on you. Well, get over with it. What have you got on your chest?
Nothing. A little girl.
I was right. This darling is obnoxious. I mean, what do you want to ask me?
Well, how can I get to be a big actress like you?
Don't be ridiculous, my dear. No one can be like me. Sometimes I even have trouble. If that's all that's worrying you, goodbye, darling.
Well, I want to be an actress when I grow up.
No, are you going to grow up? I should think you'd be discouraged enough already.
Gee, maybe Daddy is right. I guess I am too ugly to be an actress.
Your father told you that?
Yeah.
The nerve of the man. But that's what they told me. That's what my father told me when I was a kid. It really soured me.
Yeah, It sure has.
I meant at the time. Well, now, don't you believe it, darling. You can be an actress if you want. You're not ugly.
Yes, I am. Even you said so before. And it's true. At parties, boys never call me in for kissing games. They don't like me.
Oh, boys, what do they know?
They know they don't like me. I'm ugly. Yes, I am.
Darling, as much as I hate to let my good side come out, let me tell you something. Now, you're not ugly. Well, not for the stage, anyway. You see, for the stage, there are many different kinds of beauty. Now, for instance, there's a delicate beauty. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's not your kind. And then there's a world of an exotic beauty.
What kind am I?
You? Well, you have the kind that's known as ugly beauty.
That's the kind?
What I mean is that when a really fine actress plays the part of a beautiful woman, she has the personality to make an audience believe she actually is beautiful. In fact, many great people have had that ability.
Who, for instance?
Well, take Abraham Lincoln. He was homely, but because he had such a wonderful, sincere personality, his homely face became beautiful to everybody. Now, do you understand?
Yeah, and I feel better already.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You know what? Only yesterday a boy said, I look like Abraham Lincoln.
Good heavens, there is a resemblance. Well, look here, Abe. I mean, darling.
Yes, Miss Bankhead.
Now, don't worry. If you really want to be a great actress when you grow up, you can.
Gee, thanks, Miss Tallulah. You're just wonderful.
Fine. Now, run along. You're starting to bore me. Good heavens, this child is obviously going to grow up to be another Betty Davis.
Oh, Snooks, there you are.
Gee, it's Daddy.
I'm sorry if she bothered you, Miss Bankhead.
Ain't she wonderful, Daddy? And isn't that a beautiful dress she's wearing?
Yes. Isn't it?
And it's so soft and silky.
Take those sweaty paws off my Hattie Conninger gown. I mean you, Daddy.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Well, come on, Snooks. I really do hope we haven't bothered you, Miss Bankhead. But we heard that Groucho Marx is going to do his quiz program on this show tonight.
Oh, that sounds a little late in the program.
Oh, well, come on, Snooks. We'll wait over here. Say goodbye to Miss Bankhead and tell her you're sorry you bothered her. And for heaven's sake, pull up your garters.
Goodbye, Miss Bankhead, and I'm sorry I bothered you. And for heaven's sake, pull up your garters. Coming, darling.
I could have sworn I knew that child about 30 years ago. I was just an infant then, and she was a grown woman. And here I am a grown woman, and now she's just a child.
Hey, you know who I just saw out there? Fanny Ward.
Groucho, that's Fanny Bryce, and that man with her was Hanley Stafford, her father.
Fanny Bryce's father is Hanley Stafford?
Well, he's not really her father. She's his ward.
That's what I said, Fanny Ward.
And now we go off to the circus with Red Skelton. Circus Fun from 1942.
The Raleigh Cigarette Program, starring Red Skelton with Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, and Wonderful Smith. Cigarette smokers, save your valuable Raleigh coupons for the greatest premium of all, Victory. Yes, now your Raleigh coupons are more important than ever before, because now you can redeem them for United States war stamps. War stamps that help put muscles in the mighty arms of America. Already millions of Raleigh cigarette smokers have joined this nationwide drive for victory, and they have received official thanks from the United States Treasury Department. Now, if you have not yet smoked Raleigh cigarettes, try a pack. The smooth, rich mildness of Raleigh's golden, choicer tobaccos will give you real smoking satisfaction. And you will enjoy another great satisfaction by redeeming your valuable Raleigh cigarette coupons for United States war stamps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you too will agree that it pays in many ways to smoke Raleigh's. Raleigh cigarettes. Playing Happy in Love. And now, the star of our show, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I feel great tonight. Boy,
oh,
I feel good.
Oh, that's swell, Red.
Brian, don't tell me barbecue, I feel like.
Well, Red, that's swell. Don't tell me that Mr. Raleigh, our sponsor, left your house.
No, Mr. Raleigh is still there, but ever since Jack Benny mentioned my name on his program last Sunday, I don't have to shine the sponsor's shoes anymore.
Oh, you mean he isn't causing you any more trouble?
No, only he walks in his sleep.
Oh, he walks in his sleep?
Yeah, he climbs out on the roof and walks all around. Last week, he caused 3 alerts all by himself.
I see. The army spotted him.
Yeah, but they finally decided his pajamas were friendly.
What else is new, Red?
Well, have you heard the USO has started their campaign to raise $30 million?
Oh,
Mr.
Yeah.
Raleigh and I have already sent our check, but he decided that wasn't enough, see? So he organized a USO party at my house, and he fell in love with one of the USO girls.
Well, say. That's wonderful. Yeah, you know, I'm glad Mr. Raleigh's found a nice girl.
Me too.
Do they like each other?
Yeah, every night they just sit in the parlor holding cigarettes.
Red, how many soldiers did he get to come out to the USO party?
6 battalions.
6 battalions?
Yeah, my lawn was just covered with pup tents.
Pup tents?
Yeah, and you should have seen some of those big dogs sticking out of the other end.
You know, the USO does a lot to make the boys happy, don't they?
Yeah, I'll say they were down at Long Point and Rocky Point. I am trying to do everything I can to keep the boys cheered up, too.
What did you do?
Well, I dress up like a Jap gardener and then they mow me down.
About the USO.
Yeah.
Are you doing your part to keep the soldiers happy?
Yes, I am, Harriet. You should see the beautiful USO girls I got for the soldiers to dance with.
Were they really beautiful?
Yeah, nobody danced. They just stared at each other. I walked over to one soldier doing a swell jitterbug step. See, I said, would you teach me a couple of those steps?
What'd he say?
He said, I am not jitterbugging. I just got out of a Jeep after a 14-hour ride.
Happened, Red?
Well, they finally decided that they would dance, see, so they started to roll the rugs back, but I stopped them.
Well, what for?
You can't dance on dirt.
I danced with a beautiful girl once.
You did, Ozzy?
Yeah, she was from royalty.
From royalty?
Yeah, she was a handmaiden at the Eagle Laundry.
Silly, who'd send an eagle to a laundry?
Did the soldiers appreciate your hospitality, Red?
Yeah, they sure did. I got a lot of thank you notes this morning.
What did they say?
Well, I'm afraid to open them until they stop ticking.
I say, Red, the next time Mr. Raleigh turns your house over to the USO for a party, let me know, because I know a lot of swell, nice girls.
Oh, yes. I saw that girl you were with last night. Too bad she had such big buck teeth, hadn't it?
Oh, wait a minute, Red. Her teeth weren't so bad.
Oh, no. Every time she smiled, everybody had to duck or get bayoneted.
That was some girl that you had, Red.
Yeah, sort of a vacant expression, bounded by ears.
I had a vacant expression once.
How come, Ozzy?
Well, somebody squirted a fountain pen through the keyhole.
I guess the soldiers like the girls Mr. Raleigh brought.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of them out on the terrace just walking and walking and walking.
Yeah. Why didn't they stop walking?
They couldn't. The gophers would bite them on the ankles if they did.
So do I take this girl to be my wedded wife and swear to cherish her throughout our married life? And do I promise to protect her and to respect her? I do. And do I vow that I'll attend to all the bills and the geraniums upon the windowsills, to feed the goldfish in the bowl, dear, and shovel coal, dear? I do. Now I realize that gang of mine is gone. The smoker and the poker games are past. Nights we harmonize, sweet Adeline, are gone. This bachelor is married at last. So do I swear to always keep the ashtrays clean, to never turn the rug into a putting green, to say Gesundheit when you sneeze, dear, here on my knees, dear, I do.
Now do I take this man for better or for worse? And whether life turns out a blessing or a curse, to make the best of it and share it, to grin and bear it, I do. And when he rings up that he's working overtime, and that he won't be home till 6 or 8 or 9, to never question or mistrust him, if that's the custom, I do. Goodbye to parties and the 3 o'clock, the sewing circle and the picture shows. I'll be much too busy darning holes in socks, or rocking a cradle, who knows? So do I vow to try and make the two ends meet, to make our shanty look like Lady Astor's suite, to string along wherever you string on just a shoestring, I do.
Ozzie, Harriet, and the boys saying I do. And very nicely, did you notice Ozzie's trying to impress the sponsor tonight? He conducted the band using a Raleigh cigarette as a baton. Did you see
it? Say, Red, I read in the June issue of Silver Screen magazine that you used to be a clown with a circus.
Yeah, I was with Paul Jerome, Beverly Kelly. They're now with Barnum and Bailey and Ringling Brothers Circus, you know.
Boy, that must have been fun.
Yeah,
say, what were some of the things that happened?
Well, every time a circus hit town, you'd always find people who wanted to join up. So let's see how Eddie Brazell of The Greatest Show on Earth would handle that situation. All right, Harry, 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 step right up. The biggest show starts in 10 minutes. See the greatest science show on earth. See the rubber man captured in Akron, Ohio by Leon Henderson. 500,000 miles without a retread. Watch him give transfusion to tires.
What was that?
Sounds like the rubber man just had a blowout, brother. See those yabangies? They are the only girls who can seal envelopes after they've been dropped in the letterbox. Now the admission price is 25 cents.
Do you have a special rate for servicemen?
Yes, brother, it's free. The USO is taking care of everything. Just step right in, fella.
Hey, Doc, there's a guy over there who wants to see you about a job.
Okay, you take over here and I'll talk to him. Howdy, brother, so you want a job, huh? Where did you work before?
I never worked before, but I've been employed. You see, I need some money for my gal Magnolia.
Yeah, what kind of a girl is she?
Oh, she's from the Deep South. Yes, sir, the good old Deep South.
The Deep South, eh? Alabama?
No, Peru.
Sounds like you think a lot of this gal.
Yes, sir. The trouble is, she never goes anywhere without a mother.
No?
And the mother never goes any place without a father. And a father won't go no place without his 10 pounds of sugar.
Well, what do you do on a date?
Nothing. Every night, the four of us just sit out in the kitchen and take inventory.
Well, what kind of a job do you want, brother?
Maybe you could use a tightrope walker.
Well, now, we've cut that out since the last guy got hurt. He fell off the wire and broke his leg.
What's the matter? Was the rope too tight?
No, he was.
Hey, boss, I'm quitting.
Pardon me while I speak to this rubber man, will you? What's wrong, Goodyear?
Well, it's that strong man. That strong man did it again. He's inside writing letters.
Well, so what?
Well, every time he makes a mistake, he uses me for an eraser.
Now, look, forget all about it and go back to work. And right after the show, I'll introduce you to a nice white sidewall.
Well, so now, how about a job?
Well, how would you like to have a job as a lion tamer?
Who, me?
Yeah, you shouldn't be scared. Lions are just like big kittens.
Why, don't tell me about kittens. I married one once. Turned out to be a wildcat.
I didn't know you was married.
I ain't now.
Oh, did you get a divorce?
No, my wife works at Lockheed.
Well, now, there's nothing to be afraid of, brother. A lion is afraid of my man. Now, if he growls at you, just pretend you don't see him, and he'll run.
Yeah, run and tell his folks what he found for dinner.
Come on, now I'll take you over to his cage. I'll open the door for you here. Now, don't stand too close to him. Stand back there. Did he scratch your arm wonderful?
Either that or I was vaccinated with a rake.
Now, I'll show you he's just like a kitten. I'll make him do some tricks for you. Come on, sit up. Come on, sit up or I'll hit you with this whip. Here, take it easy. All right, I'll set up, but give me my whip back. You know, handling a lion is very simple. Now, all you've got to do with a show is to put your head in the lion's mouth. Then for an encore, the lion puts his head in your mouth.
Yeah, my mouth ain't big enough for that.
It will be by then.
Well, I can't do it. I want to see you stick your head in that lion's mouth first.
Well, there's nothing to it, wonderful. You just walk over to the lion and take your two hands and you open his mouth like this. Oh, well, I can always write letters with my toes. Then we have Clem, the fellow from the country. He loves the circus, and he's on his way to pick up Daisy June.
Well, here I am. Oh, the circus is coming to town. I hope that circus don't offer me a job again this year as the dog face boy. Everybody knows I ain't a boy no more. Well, here's Daisy June's house.
Hello, Clem.
Well, Daisy.
Did you walk?
No, I took the streetcar, but would you believe it? I sat there for 3 hours and it didn't move.
It didn't move?
Nope.
Well, didn't the passengers complain?
No, they just sat there like dopes. They just sat there eating and drinking coffee.
Clem, you were sitting in a lunch wagon.
A lunch wagon? Well, no wonder the conductor gave me a hamburger.
Hey, do you think the circus will offer me a job this year?
Oh, don't worry about the circus taking you, Clem. You ain't unusual enough.
No?
Why, you'd have to have 7 toes, 2 necks, and 4 elbows to get in nowadays.
7 toes, 2 necks, and 4 elbows?
Yep.
Oh, just my luck. Just missed it by 1 elbow and 1 toe. Well, shall we get going? Well, over there's the circus train. Gee, look at them wagons with all them heavy bars on it. Hey, I wonder what kind of an animal they got in that one.
Well, there's a sign on it over there. It says T-I-C-K-E-T-S. Tickets.
Boy, it must be a mean animal, hmm? Oh, yeah, I seen them babies. They are mean, boy. I used to catch them, you know.
Well, what do they look like?
Hmm?
I said, what do they look like?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? Oh, look, there's a gorilla.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, pardon me, I thought you was a gorilla.
Out of my way. Come on, back up.
Here, stop pushing. You can't push me and get away with it.
Oh, no? Take that!
Deep in the heart of Texas. How much does it cost to get in?
Tell you what, I'll give you some passes if you'll help put up the tent, drive a few stakes, and carry water for 30 elephants.
30 elephants? How much do each one drink?
Oh, about 50 gallons a day.
50 gallons? Hey, Boulder Dam, come here.
Just as I thought, you ain't strong enough to kill a fly.
Oh, yes, I am. I can tear a telephone book in half.
You can, huh?
No, I can.
I don't believe it. Here's a phone book. Let's see you do it.
I can do it. All right, I'll do it for you. Page one, page two, page three... Page four. Of course, it takes longer this way.
Come on, Clem. Let's water the elephants, and then you get the passes.
Okay.
Grab them buckets, and we'll fill them up.
All right. Here you are, big boy. Come on. Here, drink it now. What do you want me to do, stick your head in the bucket?
Clem, the other end is his trunk.
Oh, yeah, well, I had a hole of his suitcase, didn't I? Well, here you are. Come on, drink the water. Here, stop that. He squirted that water in my face. You do that again, big boy, and I'll tie your snoot in a knot. Now, I told you what I'd do if you squirted me again. Come here, you. Yep, and it looked... Well, what do you know? We tied my snoot in a knot.
If you don't like it, don't knock it. Now, getting back to the circus, we find people who always think things are a fake. So let's look in out west.
Whoa!
Howdy, partner. What can I do for you?
I hear you got a cowboy with this show. Where is this make-believe Buffalo Bill?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Bill.
Come here, you.
Put me down.
You don't look like a cowboy, and I'll make sure. Now, I'll reach for my guns. We'll count three and we'll draw. You ready? One, two, three! He shouldn't carry guns. He don't know how to handle them. Yeah, I knew he wasn't a cowboy, and that's a sure way to make sure, too.
Yes, and there's a sure way to be sure that the cigarette you buy is the best cigarette to buy, too. Look at the color of the tobacco. That's the way the experts choose the superior leaf tobaccos. And that color test will prove conclusively that Raleigh cigarettes are definitely outstanding. Compare the open ends of a pack of Raleighs with any other brand. You'll see at a glance the tobaccos in Raleighs are distinctly more golden in color.
Now, by expert acknowledgement, these more golden tobaccos are choicer, more expensive, more sought after by professional tobacco buyers. But Raleigh's don't stop there. Their superiority is emphasized again in their exclusive blend of 31 of these distinctively outstanding tobaccos. That's why Raleigh's are unrivaled in their richness, smoothness, mildness, and complete smoking enjoyment. Raleigh's give you coupons, too, redeemable for valuable premiums. Indeed, it pays in many ways to smoke Raleigh's. Next time, get the pack with a coupon on the back, Raleigh Cigarettes.
I'm getting out of here!
Then we have a lady and her little boy. Naturally, the circus is the big day of his life, and they're walking down the street. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean old kid.
Now, Junior, don't run. Walk slowly like a little gentleman.
Okay, Mommy, okay. We are going to the circus. We are going to the circus. Hey, Mommy, you got your skirt pinned on tight?
My skirt?
Yeah.
Well, of course, what a silly question.
Well, if I start to get lost, I'd go to grab for it, and boy, I don't want to cause a riot like the last time.
Come on, let's cross Sunset Boulevard.
Okay. I will blow my airway warden whistle. Boy, sure blacked them out, didn't I?
Look, here's the circus ground.
Yeah, boy.
Come on, we'll miss the show. Oh. And Junior, try to be a good boy, huh?
I've been a good boy today.
Yes, you always are the week before the circus comes to town.
Yeah, that's me all over. But oh, brother, when it leaves.
Well, here's the entrance to the big top.
Hold on to me now.
Tickets?
What do you want?
Here you are, for one.
One? What about the little boy? How old is he?
Now, let's not get nosy, Bob.
Junior!
Well... All right, go on in.
Thanks a lot, mister. Oh, Mummy, look at them big rubber cows with two tails.
Those aren't cows, Junior. They're elephants.
Them elephants? No wonder Pop runs and hides.
Well, here now. Here's some peanuts. Hold them out in your hand.
Oh, trying to get rid of me, huh? Put them on the ground. I ain't had this hand very long, you know.
He won't hurt your hand.
No, I ain't scared. Because he's bigger than I is. Let him get his own peanut.
I'm surprised at you. You weren't afraid to feed him last year.
Wasn't afraid to feed? I know I wasn't afraid to feed him last year, but last year I also drank from a nipple bottle. But I don't do that now. Oh, Mummy, look at them Alcatraz gophers.
Alcatraz gophers?
Yeah, over there.
Junior, those are zebras. Yes.
Boy, well, that's what you get when you don't pay your income tax. Oh, look, Mummy, hurry, hurry, look, the monkey.
Junior, stop that. Now, I told you not to run. Now I'll have to punish you.
You broke my widow hand, you broke my hand.
Hit you. I hit my own hand.
Careful doing that. You might hurt yourself, Ma.
Now, Junior, you stand right here, and I'll go buy some peanuts for the monkeys.
Okay,
huh?
Okay. Ain't they the cutest little fellows? Uh-oh, there's a man in the back of the monkey cage. I think I will follow him. Hello, mister. Is you a monkey?
Why, of course not. Do I look like a monkey?
I better not answer that, because it will positively lead to bloodshed.
Well, I have to get some water. Now, don't open this cage door, will you?
Oh, no.
You're a good little boy, aren't you?
You don't know me very well, do you? Well, the coast is clear. Here I go in the monkey cage. Hello, fellas. How you guys stand in the draft? Uh-oh, here comes Mummy back. Oh.
Good heavens, I hate to admit it, but there's a monkey who looks just like Junior.
Never mind all that talk. Throw them peanuts in here. We'd hungry.
All right, here you... Junior, get out of that cage!
Well, don't yell at me. You scare me, too.
Get out of there.
Okay. Oh,
Okay. I ought to take you home for that.
No, you let me see the rest of the circus or I will tell.
You'll tell what?
I will tell everybody that you used to be head kepper in a herring factory. Yes, you were, and they fired you because you would pickle too much.
You wait till I tell your father what you said.
Won't do you no good. He told me. Hey, Mummy, I want to see the wild man from Barney, oh.
No. He's wild enough now. Yeah. Now, you just sit here. The circus is going to start.
Okay. Boy, what a crummy band. What a crummy band.
Oh, Junior. Junior, you stay here for a minute. I'm going to get a program.
Okay. Well, here I am all alone. I think I will look this circus over. Gonna look the circus over. Now I will crawl under this side wall of his head. Well, here I am again. Gee, look at that funny-looking animal. Hey, mister, what is that thing?
That's a kangaroo.
Kangaroo?
Mm-hmm.
What are you using for? Pickpockets to practice on?
No, those kangaroos are part of the show, sonny.
No kidding.
Yeah, when I blow the whistle, he runs around the arena and gets a big laugh.
He does?
Say, who are you? Whose little boy are you?
My mommy.
Where's your mommy?
Looking for me as usual, I guess.
Well, I tell you, I'll get a policeman, have him take you back. And just to make sure you don't run away, I'll just put you inside the kangaroo's pocket.
Would you?
There. There now. Watch him, Tarawater.
Yeah, that was funny. Too bad it wasn't in the trip. Well, here I am, all alone in the kangaroo's pocket. No, I ain't either. Hey, get out of here, you. That's better. Now I can trust me with a leg. Oh, look what I found in me pocket. My little air raid warden whistle. The man said if he heard the whistle, he run. If I do, I get a whipping. I do it. I'm going to get a whipping anyhow. I will blow the whistle and then go for a ride. Giddy up, kangaroo. Whoa, we don't. We are. Hey, slow down. Slow down. Hey, what are you holding on to? Hey, why don't you try Highway 66? It's smoother. Hey, boy, this guy is a jeep of the animal world. Hey, look, hey, Mummy, look in the kangaroo's pocket.
Be careful, dear, you don't get hurt.
Okay.
Junior, get out of there!
Whoa! Oh, boy, I never do that again.
Lady.
Oh.
Lady, is this your little boy?
Yes. Yeah. Junior, you're going to get a spanking for that.
If I were you, Mummy, I would go easy with those smacks you give me.
What do you mean, Junior?
You heard what the president said. Only 25,000 smackers a year.
Ozzy and the band do broad jumps. Del King jumps in with a word to pipe smokers.
Pipe smokers. Here are three little words that mean complete smoking satisfaction. Sir Walter Raleigh. It's flavor-packed with a rich, nut-like mellowness. Smooth and mild because Sir Walter Raleigh is expertly blended from extra-choice Burleys, cured and aged to perfection. Sir Walter Raleigh never bites, never burns hot or bitter, and its fragrant aroma is welcome any place. In every way, it's the quality pipe tobacco of America. Try Sir Walter Raleigh tonight.
Remember, we'll all be back again next week at the same time. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, Wonderful Smith, and your announcer, Truman Bradley. Until next week, then.
This is Red Skelton saying, don't forget to give to the USO, and goodbye now, and thanks for listening.
Red Skelton is presented by arrangement of Golden Mare Studios. This program is broadcast to our armed forces abroad and came to you from Hollywood.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.